Turn to Matthew chapter 13. If you have your Bible, you'll turn to Matthew chapter 13 tonight, and we're going to read together just a couple of verses, and then we'll bring you the message. You need to know Matthew 13. This is the beginning of the parables in Matthew 13. It's the beginning of the parables in this book of Matthew. You'll find a lot said in this book about the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. In fact, this is the only book that you'll find that expression. And it said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Now, if you'll notice the first verse, it said, Jesus, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now, let me stop and say this. Came out of the house. That's the type of breaking off with your relatives and your kinfolk. You'll never get anywhere for God if you have to pacify a bunch of kinfolk. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Jesus said, except you forsake your father and your mother and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Then he came down by the seaside, and the Bible says when he got down by the seaside, there he went into a boat, and he sat down, and he taught them. And when he started teaching them the seven parables of the kingdom of heaven. Now, all seven of these begin with, and the kingdom of heaven was likened, except the first. And it does not begin with those words or that expression. First four of these were down by the seashore, and the last three he gave in the house. Went back up in the house and gave the last three. First four he gave down here by the seashore. They're external. The last three are internal, are close-knitted to the disciples. Now, if you notice the sixth mystery of the pearl, I want you to note that with me. It's in verse 45. And verse 46, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now, I want you to know just two verses in this great parable here. It says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchantman. And if you remember, the merchantman is the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to think that he was the pearl of great price when I first got saved. A lot of people believe that, but that's not right. I'm glad the church is the pearl of great price. I'm glad the merchantman went out. And the scripture says, and he sold all that he had, and then he bought it. I want you to bow for just a word of prayer. And in just a moment, I want to bring you a message tonight, as the Lord may lead, on the pearl of great price. And I trust that the Lord will speak to your heart and to my heart. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, now let me say in the beginning, the first message of the night, oh, you pray. Pray for every speaker that shall get up. Pray for every man of God that shall stand before you night after night. Pray for Brother Valu as he teaches in the morning. Pray that the singing will be anointed with the Holy Ghost. Pray that every word shall be seasoned in power and that the Lord will receive the glory. We want him to be lifted up. We want Jesus to be manifested in this meeting, time after time, morning after morning, and night after night. Our Heavenly Father, we bow, we thank you for every blessing. Oh God, we're grateful for this great gathering. If it hadn't have been for Jesus, we wouldn't be here tonight. If it hadn't have been for the love of God, then we wouldn't know how to come together and express this that we've already found in the service. Thank you for every song. Thank you for every prayer. Thank you, our Father, for this great church and Brother Randy. Thank you for these that every year work so hard to make it possible that hungry-hearted men and women should come and be blessed of the Lord. Thank you now for what you're going to do. I pray you'll bless Brother Kelly as she shall come later on tonight. I pray that every heart shall be stirred if there be by chance one that knows not Jesus. Oh, may this be the night when the Holy Ghost will search him out. May this be the night when conviction will grip his heart. May this be the night when he'll come to the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, I pray for the saints of God. I pray for that little preacher that's driven a long way, and he's discouraged. He's about ready to throw up his hands. Oh, God, he wants to turn back, but I pray that you'll put determination in his soul. I pray that this week will strengthen him. I pray that he may leave this jubilee more determined to fight the good fight of faith. I pray, our God, tonight that you'll move upon every soul that's here. Lord, I cannot do a thing unless you touch me. Now, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost will encircle me and fill me and anoint me as I come to bring the message tonight. Oh, I'm so glad that I can feel your presence. Thank God. I'm glad tonight for the pearl of great price. And I pray that this may be tonight such a blessing from the Lord. And so we'll say that God has spoken, not man, but God. I pray that Christ will be lifted up. And we'll thank you now for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, tonight I want to speak to you on the pearl of great price. I know of nothing that thrills me. I know of nothing that blesses me like going into the Word of God, finding a truth, finding a blessing, finding food for the soul. If you go back in this great chapter, you'll find Jesus came out and sat in the boat, and the Scripture said He taught them. I believe He opened up a great treasure chest, and He found in that treasure chest a pearl of great price. The Bible says that Christ caught them by the sea, and I can see Him there, and they were hungry. And this is the beginning of His parable ministry. Up to this time, Christ in Matthew had not taught them in parables, but now He begins to teach them, and He gives this one. But before I get into it, let me say this. I believe there's a treasure chest tonight. I believe when you open up God's treasure chest, you'll find the diamond of His goodness. And brother, when you think of the goodness of God, when they got to singing, "He's been so good to me" a while ago, I tell you, so the Lord stirred me and blessed my heart. I'm glad God is good. Nahum said in the midst of judgment, "The Lord is good." And I'm glad for the diamond of His goodness. Then we'd reach in and get some of the gold of His grace. And brother, we need to know the exceeding riches of the grace of God. I'll tell you, the grace of God has always been sufficient, and we need to know about it, and then we need to reach in, and my friend, we need to get a bracelet of His love. I want you to know, we need to know about His love. It's a blessing to reach in this treasure chest, and then we need to get the necklace of my friends of His peace. He said, "My peace I will give unto you." But let's notice, He found the pearl of great price, and the three things I want you to notice by way of introduction. First, the Bible said He sought it. Now, you didn't seek God. I'm glad He sought you. You weren't looking for the Lord, but thank God He came looking for me. I heard Him sing the other day, "My Lord went a-walking." And I said, glory to God, about 30 years ago, "My Lord went a-walking." And you say, "Where'd He come?" He came where I was. And I'm glad for that tonight. Oh, you say, "Preacher, man, I'm glad, thank God, He sought it." The second thing, He sold all that He had. The Bible said, this is the grace of God, how that He who was rich became poor for our sake. I'm glad, thank God, He might show us His grace, exceeding riches of His grace. And then I'm glad the Scripture says that He bought it. I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. Brother, we're not to dictate to God. The Holy Ghost is to dictate to us. We're not to tell God what we want. We're to let God tell us what He wants. And we are private property. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Thank God He owns us. But somebody said, "Brother, means one amount. The pearl of great price." There are five things I want you to notice. And if you want to jot it down, you do so. First of all, the only place you'll find the pearl. Now look at some of these Baptists, brother. You'd think that the Lord found them in a palace. You'd think the Lord found them in a splendor garden. But that's not so. Only place you'll find the pearl is in the muck and the mire of an ocean bed, down in corruption, in pollution. That's where you found the pearl, and that's where He found me. Hallelujah. I'm glad He found me in my pollution. Thank God. Somebody said, "Peter, He found the pearl of great price in a muck and mire." But you see, some of these folks, you think, brother, they found the Lord. Instead of the Lord finding them, you think that they say the Lord, and said the Lord saving him. And the Scripture said He found it in the muck and the mire. I'm glad. And you know, some of the churches today, they do more. It said, look in the muck and the mire, instead of looking to the big shop and the man that's got a lot of money and the person that's got a lot of prestige. I want to tell you, these old sinners that are out yonder tonight, holding sin, without God and without hope and without mercy, if you ever get one of them to Jesus and get the Holy Ghost of going to the Savior, brother, I tell you, you have something. In the Bible, there are three places Christ. That shows you about the muck and the mire the Lord found you in. First of all, in Psalm 40, he said, I waited patiently upon the Lord, and the Lord heard my cry and lifted me out of the miry clay, out of a horrible pit. He lifted me up, Bethlehem, out of the corruption of the pit. Somebody said, what did he do? He lifted me. Now, I was in a hole, and if some modernist had come by when I was in a hole, he said, hey, mate, I'd say, how you doing up there? I want to get out. He'd say, you all right? You're a pretty good fellow. I'd say, no, that's not doing me any good. Bless God, I'm down here in the hole. I need to get out. Oh, doctor, do better come by and say, hey, Mays, oh, you got to do better. I'd say, no, sir, you can't do better where I am. Bless God, I need to be lifted out. Doctor, church membership comes by and said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll vote you in next Sunday morning. That wasn't what I needed. But Dr. Jesus came by one day and reached away down in the muck and the mire and the corruption and picked me up, thank God, and set my feet on the solid rock. My brother, we'll find some jewels. We'll find some pearls in the muck and the mire. Most of us preachers, we don't want to preach to the drunks and the downcast. But let me tell you something. When we see where God found every one of us, he found us in the pit of corruption. Years ago, 46 men were graduating and the great Church of England. And the bishop got up in the graduation, looked at his roll and started calling the roll. Women had to sit in the balcony. The men sat down here. And as he called the roll, he signed them to the different parishes. He came down to Allen's, finally got to a man named Booth. And he said, William! And William stood up and said, hey, bishop, before you send me to the parish, listen, said, for the last 2 weeks I've been going down in the slums and down in the alleys. I've been talking to the dope addicts and I've been talking to those in sin. I want you to sign me to the slums of London. The bishop put his glasses back down on his nose and said, sign, William, you're not going to disgrace the great church. And old William said, but sir, I feel led of the Holy Ghost to go down yonder and preach to those that nobody loves. And down yonder to those. And he said, shut down, William. I think you're not going to disgrace the Church of England. About that time, a little skinny woman in the balcony named Catherine leaned over and said, get up from there, William. Get your Bible. Bless God, me and God will go with you. I'll meet you on the outside. And for the whole thing, somebody said, Brother Mays, what happened? Oh, William Booth went down into the slums. William Booth left the cathedrals and the high steeple churches. Went down, and when he was lying corpse, 15,000 people walked by and said, this man came down where I was and told me the story. Somebody said, Preacher Mays, I'm glad. Hallelujah, tonight. Oh, he lifted me out of the deep miry clay. Secondly, in the Bible, in Ezekiel chapter 16, the Bible gives a picture of downtrodden Jerusalem. Jerusalem, there in her birth without God. And he says, no man pitied me. I was lying, as Ezekiel said, in my own blood. My navel cord wasn't cut. And they passed by, and nobody pitied me. But then I like this verse where it said, and he passed by. Glory to God. When Jesus passes by, I'm glad it picks up. Praise the Lord. When Jesus passes by, and the word of God said, and the Lord passed by, and he had compassion upon him, and he reached down and picked him up out of his pollution. The Bible said he hadn't been washed from his blood yet. And the Bible says that he washed him with clean water. That's the water of the word. Thank God, I'm so glad I've been washed in the water of the word of God. And the book says, and some of you won't like this, but he anointed me with oil. That's the Holy Ghost, bless God. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And aren't you glad tonight? After you're cleansed, there's the power of the Holy Ghost. And I thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Brother, without the Holy Ghost, we can't sing. Without the Holy Ghost, we can't preach. Without the Holy Ghost, listen, this jubilee would be a failure. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. And some people say to me, preacher, why are we having anybody saved? I'll tell you why we're not having anybody saved. Oh, we're having a lot of decisions. I'm not talking about decisions. I'm talking about Holy Ghost in season.
nations. I'm talking about getting right. I'm talking about, bless God, being born again. We got a lot of people signing cards. We got a lot of people joining the church. But you don't find many old hard-hearted drunks getting saved in this day. Say, why? There's not enough power in the average church to deliver a poor old drunk and a harlot and a bum and a gambler and a chestnut. We've lost the power of God in the average church, Mr. We've denied the oil of the Holy Ghost. You can't run the machine without the Holy Ghost oil. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, preacher, I don't like the Holy Ghost. Brother, I like the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I like the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Oh, some people say, Brother Mays, that scares me. It scares me when the Holy Ghost is not around with us. But God, I like to be around with the Holy Ghost. And it's a blessing. I never will forget when I was being ordained. I like to forget one man. He's a crippled fella. His name was Corn. Daddy told me, he said, are you going to get Brother Corn? I said, yes, sir. I forgot it. I called him up and I said, Brother Corn. Had to call a lady next door because he didn't have a phone. He never owned a car. Never had a home. He said, preacher, I'll be glad to come lay my hands on you. I think there were 17 or 19. I can't remember which preachers laid their hands on me at Calvary Baptist Church at home. And brother, I appreciated every one of them. But after a while, I heard a man with a crippled foot. And I knew his old Brother Corn. I had my head bowed in tears. Such a screaming down. He came over and laid his hands on my head. He said, Mays Jackson, I'm going to pray the Holy Ghost on you. And boy, I want to tell you something. Somebody said, preacher, Mays. I said, you stop hitting me right in the top of the head with plumb out my toes. You say, I don't believe it. You wasn't there, bless God. You don't know what happened. I'm glad for the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's a blessed thing that we can have the Holy Ghost. And the scripture says, listen to me, Bible says, and then he decked him, and then he put a crown on. Glory to God tonight, I'm so glad. You say, where did he find it? That's an open field in a hole. And then the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 9, there's a man named Mephibosheth, and I won't go into that, but listen, he lived in the land of Lodibar, land of no bread, land of desert. There he was crippled from the fall, had nothing, but Ziba the Holy Ghost came looking for him. Glory to God, found him and picked him up and said, I'm going to bring you back to the king's house and put you at the king's table. Somebody said, preacher, did you believe that? Let me tell you something, I'm eating at the king's table, bless God, and I'm glad I'm feasting off of the blessings of the Lord. So we find the only place you'll find the pearl in the muck and the mire of the ocean bed. Second thing about the pearl, my friend, the pearl, you say the birth of it. How is it born? It's born from the bleeding side of an oyster. A little speck. I like this. That's all I was, a little dirt speck. That's all you were, a little dirt speck. I used to have some members of my church, and they thought they were $10 million. And I'd preach every once in a while on the worth of the body, about $1.98. And boy, they'd come strutting in. I'd say, y'all ain't worth as much as you think you are. I said, Jesus said, the soul is worth more than all to all. But I said, listen to me. I said, as far as the sulfur, and all in your body, you're worth about $1.98. And it used to really hurt me to see those $1.98 saints come in strutting like a peacock down the aisle. But you know what worried me worse than that? Some of my ladies had come in with a $50 hat on a 10-cent head. Now, I want to tell you what the truth is. Boy, that really took the cake. That's as sure as your name is what it is. And my name's Brother Mays. Oh, you say, preacher, what are we? Brother, we're just a speck. Just a little piece of dirt. That's what the book says. Bible said, it says, and he took the dust and formed it. And the scripture said, breathe into that dust and it formed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I was preaching down at Calvary Baptist Church for Dr. Glaze several years ago down here in Columbus, Georgia. I never will forget it. Little old boy sat on the front row. He's smart. Boy, he knew his Bible. And every night he'd come up and ask me a question. And I'd give him an answer. And so one night he came up and he said, Brother Mays, was it raining or the sun shining when God created Adam? I said, the Bible don't say. Oh, he said, yes, sir. I said, no, son, it don't say. It says, I'll quote it to you, Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground, breathed his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He said, quote it again. I said, the Lord God formed man out of dust. He said, stop. He said, the sun is shining. If it had been raining, it had been mud. Hallelujah. And said, I want you to know something. That God He's persuaded. You say, Brother Mays, it came from a speck. My Bible teaches me that we were born out of his sufferings. Did you know that, my friend? The pearl comes from the side of a wounded oyster. You know where the church comes from? Let's go back. Genesis 2:20. And the Bible says, I like this. It says, listen to what it says. It said, and God made a deep sleep fall, that's type of death, upon Adam. Let me give you this verse. I was preaching the other night, and a long-tongued lady came up. Boy, her tongue is that long. And I knew she was a long-tongued sister. And she said to me, she wanted to catch me. She said, Brother Mays, now stand there, stand by the microphone. She said, you think everything's in the Bible? I said, yeah, about everything's in the Bible. She said, well, Preacher Mays, do you think loudspeakers in the Bible? I said, sure is. She said, where is it? I said, it's in Genesis 2:20, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, took out of his rib, outside a rib, and made a loudspeaker in his bed. I've cried ever since. And boy, I'll tell you what the truth, that old long tongue. She didn't say anything else anymore, brother. I want to tell you, somebody said, oh, no, I know some long-tongued men, too, don't you? Praise God. I do. I know some fellas, brother. They've got pretty long tongues. But I remember reading that scripture, and I said, out of Adam's side came the first bride. And the Bible says in the book of John, a soldier pierced his side, water and blood came out. I'm glad the church, the bride of Christ, comes out of the side of the second Adam. Oh, out of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So we see the birth. Now let's see something else. My friend, let's see the growth of that pearl. I'm glad. Did you know we're supposed to grow? We got some fellas from Pennsylvania. Years ago, I was up in a meeting, and I heard a colored fellow from Uniontown. He's on Uniontown Station there. Boy, he was just up preaching. He's a preaching on growing in grace. And he had the funniest exclamation I ever heard. He said, I say you ought to grow in grace after you're saved. And I said, that colored preacher sure is preaching good right there. Leave it there, Earl. Old Earl left it right there. He said, you know, I've grown in grace ever since God saved me. He said, I can tell you why I know I've grown in grace. He said, when I first got saved, I'd steal a pencil. And he did really bother me. Said, since I've been saved 30 years, I can steal a mule. It don't bother me. And I thought, my, how in the world can a fellow get so mixed up? Brother, there's the growth of the pearl. And there's the growth of the Christian. I believe this just as sure as you in the house. And my name's Brother Mays, brother. There needs to be some growth as the Christian. And there's some growth of the pearl. Yes, sir. I'll tell you right now. Yes, sir. Oh, Wes is having a time. I hope he takes that back up, John. Amen. Yes, sir. But you put it down. It needs to be growth. I tell you, I like to see a man saved. And then I like to go back next year. Let me tell you something. I go back to most of the churches that I hold meetings in year after year. And it's a tragedy when I go back and say, hey, preacher, how many of those who still come into church and still tithing and still walking with God that were saved under me? No, Brother Mays didn't have many of them stick. Let me tell you, something wrong with them somewhere. I believe when Jesus saves them, they stick, brother. I believe when Jesus gets a hold of them, brother, it's real. But I tell you, the finest thing in the world after you're saved is to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tragedy. We still have so many nurseries in the Baptist church. Got grandpa and grandma still in the spiritual nurseries. And they'll pout if the preacher don't just pat them on the back, give them a sugar tip, bless your heart. They'll get mad. Get up, pout free, get out on myth limb, say, I'll not come back. I used to have a machine gun for that crowd, and I'd run them up the tree. And I never did have but one limb on my trees. I don't know how many you preachers, pastors had on yours. And I'd get them on that one limb, and it couldn't get off, and I'd bless them. Just, and just keep right on. Somebody said, why? Brother, they should grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time some of you folks grow up. It's time you quit that pouting. It's time you quit that living like a little baby. Did you know? It wouldn't bother me. Of course, I'm glad they got a nursery here. I know some preachers that don't like them, but I like them. But I like for to have a nursery. But if they didn't, a little baby came down and sucking his thumb and looked up at me and said, go, 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 I wouldn't think a thing.
But when a 60-year-old man still calling down and going goo goo goo, that's a monstrosity. Did you know that? Bless God, that fella needs to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs it, my friend. Oh, the growth of that pearl. You say, how does it grow? Listen, that speck is in its side, and that lava that comes from that oyster side covers that speck, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. My friend, I'm so glad as Christians we're to grow. But there's something else I want you to notice tonight. My friend, not only is there the growth, but there's the unity of that pearl. I can take a diamond and break that diamond and have two diamonds. I can take a piece of gold and I can break that gold, have two pieces of gold. But if I break that pearl, if you could, it's no good. After it's broken and split, it's no good. And the Bible said in Ephesians 4:5, one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. And we're all in one body. And I don't understand, my friend, the thumb saying, I don't like the little finger. I don't understand, my friend, the left hand saying, I don't like the right hand. The Bible teaches unity. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about folks are saved. I'm talking about those that know the Lord. There ought to be the unity of the pearl. In my opinion, there ought to be the unity. If we could get our churches together that believe in old-time religion and do something for God, we could take this country for Jesus. And I'll tell you, so many looking and trying to run his little crowd, and this little crowd's fighting that little crowd, and this little crowd don't do it like that little crowd, does it? And we get all mad and say, well, we're the only one left. Elijah thought that. God told him that 7,000 hadn't bowed their knees to Baal. And you remember that song tonight, my friend, the growth. And then I want you to see the unity. There needs to be unity. Oh, that we had folks that would stand and folks that would be unified. I remember several years ago hearing about a man that used to be in Atlanta, Georgia here. He was in Philadelphia as a little boy. And he said, you know, I want to be saved. And nobody would tell him about Jesus. And they called him a river rat. And he lived down on the side of the tracks. And one night he came up to the big church. And the preacher preached about Jesus. And that little old boy, Lynn's heart was touched. And tears came in his eyes. And that little Lynn walked down the aisle. And all those people looked at him and said, oh, we can have nothing to do with him. And they pushed him aside. But the preacher said, son, why did you come down? He looked up and said, I want to know that one you're talking about tonight. He said, I live across the tracks. I'm just a little river rat, but I want to know Jesus. That preacher got out and prayed, and Lynn found the Lord. After that, they didn't shake hands with him that night. Nobody came by. Everybody just passed him up. And the little boy went outside, crawled over behind some hedges, laid down on his face, and began to sob. And oh, as they passed by the women that summer night going home, they said, wasn't that a shame? Preacher taking time for that little river rat. Why, he could never be one of us. He could never be one of us. We could never have him in our church. We couldn't accept him. He's a river rat. But you know, Lynn went home. Next morning, a lady and her daughter walked to his house and said, Lynn, we want to covenant with you. And we want to have unity with you. And we want you to know that you're part of us and we're part of you. And we believe God's got something great for you. So those three took hands. And that little old river rat didn't understand it. That little old poor boy didn't understand it. Later on, God called him to preach. And he stood in Atlanta, Georgia's pastor of the Baptist Tabernacle. And his name was Lynn G. Broughton. Before he died, they called him to London, to a big cathedral. And he was preaching. And one night, he broke down and he looked up in the balcony. And he saw an old lady sitting up there. And by her side, he saw a daughter. And she was now getting old. Lynn G. Broughton bowed his head and held up his hand and said, we're still in unity. Your life and my life of faith that we stood together. Let me say to you tonight, we could just three people together with old, or two people with Lynn G. Broughton and make such a man of God as Lynn G. Broughton. How much more could all the members of Glen Haven Baptist Church, if they could get together and stop their squabbling and their fuming and their fussing, or over here at this church or up here at this church. Brother, there ought to be unity. But there's something else I want you to notice about the pearl. There's the destination of it. Somebody said, preacher, where is it headed? I tell you where it's headed. It's headed for the display up yonder with God Almighty. Brother, we're going to be on display. My Bible said in the ages to come, he might show us exceeding riches. I want to tell you something tonight. We're headed for that display. I heard of a museum the other day in New York. I never heard of one like this. In fact, it's amazing. I was on an airplane. I picked up a magazine. More tears came in my eyes. They have many museums around the world for art and sculpture. But all of the masters are dead. They got one in New York where the masters are now living. They got a little cubby hole up in the paper set of the magazine up in the balcony, kind of in that museum. And those masters will sit up there and look through those little holes and watch the expressions on the people's faces when they come to view their masterpieces. Let me tell you something. I'm glad one of these days the pearl of great price is going to be placed on display in the city of God. And you talk about a time. Oh, listen. All the angels and all the heavenly host is going to look upon the pearl of great price. It'll be on display. Years ago, in Switzerland, there's a little boy, and he wanted more than anything else to play the violin. Billy Kelly calls it a fiddle, but this little boy called it a violin. And he wanted more than anything else to play a violin. And he told his mother, said, Mother, can I, she said, now, you know your daddy's dead, and I don't have the money, and we can't buy books, and we can't have instructors. He said, Mother, across town is the greatest master in the violin in the world. Said, they've been telling me about it. And Mother, I'd like to have him to teach me. And so one day when the little boy was home, he ran across the tracks and down the road and came outside the master's great mansion. He never heard such music. And he stood there and tears ran down his little cheeks. About that time, one of the servants said, Hey, buddy, what are you doing out here? Did you see that no trespassing sign? You're not supposed to see and listen. You might interfere with just one note. And it would certainly upset the master. And the little boy said, Wait, I don't want to upset him. I just want to hear him. Because someday I'd like to play like that. About that time, the master finished playing, looked out and said, Hey, buddy, what'd you say? He said, I'd like to hear you play some more. He said, Come on in. Sit down over in that chair. Don't say a word. Just listen. That master took that bow and he took that violin and he played. The little boy sat there and cried. And he wanted to play something bad. He said, Can I just touch your violin? He said, Sure, son, touch it. Rub it if you want to. He said, It's worth thousands of dollars. And the bow, go ahead and hold it in your hand. He said, You know, mister, I know you couldn't do this for me, but he said, I'd like to know how to play the violin like you. He said, You come back tomorrow and let me think about it. Next day, a little boy sitting on a step, chewing on a stick, said, Hope he heard him open the door. And he opened the door and said, Hi, mister. You're going to teach me how? And he said, I am, if you'll do what I tell you. The boy said, Sure, I'll do anything you want. He said, How old are you, son? He said, I'm six. He said, I'll tell you what you do. If you'll come to my house every day, he said, You see, I am 52. And if you'll come every day to my house for 20 years, and you'll never play in public, you'll never play for church, and you'll never play for concert, and you'll never play for anything. And if you'll go through the grinding hours and the tedious days and nights of practice, we'll have a grand premiere. And I'll take you to London. And all the great masters of the violin will gather there from around the world. And I'll display you. And that boy went there when it was raining, when it was snowing. He went there when he was sick. He went there when he was tired. And he played and he listened to the master. And he played and he played. And then on his 27th birthday, there went out across the world the greatest invitation. Come and hear the greatest violinist in the world. He's never played in public. Come, and they sent invitations around the world. That night he walked out with his white suit and his violin. He bowed. 1,500 people sat in the main auditorium. 800 people in the first balcony. 500 people in the second balcony. 200 people in the third balcony. He said, Thank you. Took that bow and started playing. And after he started playing, they started crying, and some of them started cheering and started throwing the program sheets. And they said, We've never heard anything like it. He said, You haven't heard anything yet. Watch this. And he got down on his knee and he put it up under his chin. He started sawing that thing like they'd never heard it. They stood on the beaches. They clapped. They shouted. And they were all standing after about 45 minutes. They were all cheering and all shouting. Did you know he looked out? And he was on display, but he didn't see that 1,500. He looked up in the balcony, and there was 800. He didn't see him. At 500, he didn't see standing. There were 200 he didn't see. But up in the corner sat a 72-year-old master with his hair white as snow. And finally stood up and gave him a sign. And he said, "Well done, my boy. You've passed the test." You something, brother. Some of you preachers will live and you'll work and you'll toil out here in these mountain churches or down here in South Georgia in the flat hills, and you'll toil and you'll practice. But you wait till that grand finale day when they step out on the great portals of heaven. You wait till that day and you stand there and bless God. You take the bow and you take the violin and play. And then when they all start to cheer, you'll not be looking at that, really. You'll be looking for the one that's taught you all these years. And the one that's been faithful, and the one that's been true, and the one that taught you all you know. Thank God. He'll be on display. Hallelujah. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Display. The pearl of great price. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you realize where you came from and why you're this far. And as Brother Ed said this morning, you got to make it on in because of him. Because of the Lord. You're going to. Thank God. What a blessing. Oh, Jesus sold all he had. He who was rich became poor. Came down in this world. Through his poverty, we might be made rich. We might be pearl, the pearl of great price. Jewels in his treasure chest. I thank the Lord for that tonight. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, everyone's praying. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and then we'll continue with the service. Listen to me. I believe there's some people here tonight. And I believe there's some folks here tonight, and they say, "Preacher, the Holy Ghost has spoken to me." You know what you need? You need to listen to God tonight. There's some preachers here tonight, and you've been just about ready to go back and throw up your hands. But you remember, the growth is slow and gradual. 1,900 years he's been forming the church. And don't worry, don't get in a hurry. It's not a fly-by-night thing. It'll be all right in the end. No, we'll be on display. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Praise God. What a blessing it is. There may be somebody here, and you may say, "Preacher, I've never been out and never been in public. And this Jubilee, I've looked so far, so long to come." Let God use you and let God touch you. Oh, don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost this week. Don't be afraid to let God have his way. Don't be afraid to walk with Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for the pearl of great price. One day when we've all gathered in and we stand up yonder in that city, we'll be on display. Oh, bless your name. Lord, there may be some here tonight and they feel it's not worth it. Some here tonight that feel it's too hard. God, may they know that it'll be worth everything when we stand and the heavenly host pass by. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And now while your head's bowed, if anybody here's not saved, you say, "Preacher, I don't know Jesus. I'm lost. I'm in the muck and the mire and the filth and the corruption. Preacher, I'm lost." I want you to slip up your hand. Let me see it tonight. Would you lift it up? You know whether you're saved or not. I want to pray for you if you're not saved. Lift up your hand. Let me see it. God bless you. Amen. Is there another? Anybody else? Let me see it. Yes, God bless you up in the balcony standing up over there. I see it. Is there another? Just hold up your hand. Let me see it tonight. If you're not saved, listen. Oh, listen. Yes, God bless you. Is there another?
some milk and honey. I'm going to see some milk and honey water this day.